Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
All right. Hey, I want to welcome you to another edition of the Roundtable Podcast. My name is Norm Funk. I'm the lead pastor of Westside Church. Joining me today all by myself, is James Bonney, who is an elder and pastor of the North Shore campus of Westside. And James, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Matt Menzel is not here, so this will be a lot more fun.
Contrarian.
Yeah. So he is actually off. We love Matt, but he's off this week. He's doing fine, just taking some much needed holiday time. I think he's doing some studies too on his online courses. I think he's trying to get his high school stuff done. Yeah. So that'll be good once that's done. So again, I want to welcome you. Those of you who listen, the two of you, we couldn't do this without you. So thanks for listening. Yeah, we really appreciate you you listening. James, here's what I want to do today. I want to talk about discouragement and disappointment and kind of the difficulties that we go through in life, personally, ministry itself. I'm thinking about those who are listening that could be either not in ministry, but man, just the topic is very relevant to them, obviously, because we go through times of discouragement.
Yeah.
But also those in ministry who listen to us, and just how we deal with that. The text that really prompts this for me comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where, and I'll just read the text. It's a few verses longer, maybe than would be a normal text to read in a podcast, but I'll do it anyways, where Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort with which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer." I'll just stop there. So basically, just to get a ball rolling a little bit, Paul begins this letter by talking about afflictions and the God of comfort and how God comforts us and we comfort one another, really presupposing that we will deal with hard times as we follow Jesus personally and certainly in ministry, life, in our relationships and so forth. So that's why I want to hit this topic, because I think it is so relevant. And even just talking with our staff earlier today, it was easy for people to chime in. But maybe first of all, let me just ask you, just to get stuff moving forward. You ever get discouraged in ministry? What discourages you? The first question, I think, is a stupid one, but just to make sure that people don't think you're a Superman. Do you get discouraged in ministry? Do you get discouraged in life? How do you handle that? And what do you do well and not well? What are some of your struggles in terms of dealing with it? All right, to ask those kind of questions?
Yeah, no, those are good questions. And one thing you said in our staff meeting, which I really appreciate, was just pointing out that this word affliction, it can be the word pressures, like just pressures. I find for me, pressures point out a lot of, in my life, inadequacies. And that's one that is quick to discourage me is, I can't do this. The pressure is too much. There's too many burdens. There's too much to look at. And so for me, I find the first thing that knocks the wind out of me is just the pressure makes me look at myself. It takes my eyes off Jesus. And when I look at just James Bonney, I go, he can't do this. And so the wind is, I can't be this. I can't do this. So the attack is with the pressure. And I think it's common for a lot of people just to be aware that this word affliction, that pressure is what they do is they make you look at yourself. They put pressure on you. So
what causes that most of all in your life? What causes the pressure most often to you? What is the stuff that you carry that just burdens you down, man?
Well, I mean, I think there's healthy and then there's unhealthy. The first one would be just the burden of Sunday, that there's Sunday's coming. And I wouldn't call it a discouragement, but it's a pressure. It's a pressure that you have to press into the Lord, or you look at yourself and And so what that does is it creates like, I can't do this, I can't do that. And you feel like, no, Sunday's the most important thing. So there's pressure there. I think for me,
let me just stop you. Yeah. There. The pressure of feeling like the Sunday is most important, because somebody would hear that and go, Sunday's not most important. So maybe just even tie it down to the pressure that comes from a Sunday. Maybe what specifically about a Sunday? Because somebody's going to go, well, that's their problem. He's making too big out of a Sunday, too much out of a Sunday. So maybe just whittle it down so people don't think, this guy's priorities out of whack. What puts that pressure on you, both good and not so good?
Yeah. Well, I think the first pressure is just that you will stand before God's people, the people that you've put in charge of, that are under you, and you're there to say, thus saith the Lord. So there is a pressure to study the word, to be able to have really a gigantic one-on-one with, you know, I always say preaching is, I think I heard this from Spurgeon, but preaching is an appointment with God and his people. You get out of the way, but you better be ready when you walk into that pulpit with God's word to make that appointment happen. So there's pressure to have a text ready, to be praying into it, to be studying through it word by word, and be ready to be able to share it in such a way that people encounter Jesus. And the pressure is all the other stuff that comes in the way that are all good things, but the most important thing is getting God's word out.
So I would call that a good pressure.
A good pressure, yeah, good burden.
It's a good burden.
Yeah.
And for somebody to, and maybe I'll even take some people there if they've, you know, if they're listening to us, one of the things that could seem like a contradiction of Paul and his life is in places like Philippians 4, he talks about anxieties and pressures and burdens and taking those things to Christ and replacing those thoughts with things that are pure and excellent, right and true and pleasing and lovely and so forth. But then in this same letter that I began reading in 2 Corinthians a little bit later, Paul writes about his sufferings as an apostle. And he says, after making this list where he's in danger from robbers and people and Gentiles in the city and the wilderness and so forth, he goes on and says in verse 28, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And you go, Paul, dude, why don't you just read some of your own letters? Because you say, look, you shouldn't have this pressure. You should take this anxiety to the Lord, and it shouldn't be a big deal. And I don't think that's what Paul is saying here. What Paul, I think, is saying is there is a good anxiety to have. There's a proper pressure. Whether you're a pastor, an apostle like Paul was, whether you're a parent, like there's a right pressure.
Yeah.
There's a pressure that says, look, I have this call on my life. I need to do it well.
Yeah.
And if I attempt to live a life that is pressure-free, Paul never promises pressure-free living. He says there are good things to have pressure over. There are good things that we should give ourselves to. And then there are things, and this is where I want to go with this question, there are things that we shouldn't carry. What would be some of those? Like, let's just talk about Sunday.
Sure. Okay?
Now, I know your life is
More
than again,
that.
I'm thinking about the person out there. Oh, there's the, you know, there's that place and all they think about. We're not thinking only about Sunday, but I get the pressure of being the guy who's opened up the scriptures. So what are those things connected to Sunday that you shouldn't be carrying that you do?
Right. The results of that sermon. I think the most discouraging minutes of my entire week are the 10 minutes I'm done preaching, where I have to almost every week. And you'll see me, I'll get on my knees and I'll say, my righteousness is in Christ, not in that message.
Yeah.
And it's about 10 minutes of going, God, I don't know if you're going to use this, but it's not about me. And it is a battle. And it's discouraging because, again, you want to— there's some Sundays you walk away and go, I got to quit. I can't do this.
Sure.
Yeah.
So going back to something, because I'm thinking about people who are listening that go, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm just I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm just a single guy living in the city. Going back to your point about the word affliction in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, that's a word in the Greek that does, like we've been talking about, it means any pressure that comes to us as the result of being a Christ follower. He's talking about very specifically gospel living, and gospel living in the city of Vancouver, meaning that you're one who follows Jesus, is going to bring pressure. It's going to bring affliction. It's going to bring anxiety of all sorts. It will bring anxiety and pressure if you're a Jesus follower in terms of how you do your relationships, how you do your sexuality, how you do your money, how you make a stand in your business. The pressure of being called to the city that is expensive. It's any pressure that comes because you're serving Jesus. And there is that pressure that comes that can take us to places as we go through this text where it's beyond our ability to bear, beyond our ability to stand. But in that, we're going to see some things where God meets us. But it's really important for people to understand, hearing this, that just because they're healthy, have some bucks, if they're in the city and they're a Jesus follower, they're going to have pressure on them. And how do we deal with that? Mm-hmm. So I just want to make that really, really clear. I guess my point coming out of the Sunday that we were just at, and we watched a video where other people around the world are getting martyred for their faith. Mm-hmm. Obviously, reaching a scale in their walk with Jesus, that is something that most of us perhaps may never be confronted with. But that does not mean that our gospel that we are called to live under and by and through in this city doesn't bring with it pressure as well.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So what Paul says here is, look, we need to bless God in verse 3 because he is the Father of mercies and he is the God of all comfort. In other words, that word bless speaks of speaking well of, that we can speak well of God because he meets us in those places where we are under pressure. That's his first point, that we worship a God of all comfort. Then he goes on, like I read in verse 4, who says, and he comforts us in our affliction. Now, what I want to do with this sort of next time, our next stage in the podcast is just talk about the role of pressure and affliction on our lives. So let me go back to some of the stuff that you talked about in terms of just the things that you carry and the burdens that you carry in your own life. Where does God meet you in those places? And how have those times helped you be a source of comfort to others? So I'm trying to help people go, should I try to run from every pressure and anxiety, or how does God meet me in those, and what role do they have in my growth with him, and also how I can serve others?
Yeah, no, well, and I'd love to hear just the way the Lord does that with you, but I know for me, when I'm going through a lot of pressure, I have to get out, I go for a prayer walk, and in that moment, I'm reminded that God is in control, that he, in that quiet time, like I'll be going for a walk, and I'll just cast my cares. I love that in scripture, like cast your anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares what's happening to you. That's right in 1 Peter where they're going through tons of suffering. Right. So I think there's an acknowledgement of God, I need you. That's the gift of where he comes in and says, I'm enough here. I can comfort you. And so I find just prayer and the word, just over and over, prayer and the word, those mornings with the Lord are what draw me to him to go. And it's just, again, he's reminding me of who he is for me and what he's doing. And, I go back to Daniel quite a lot, just in my own prayer life, and just think, if the Lord gets me out of this, great, and he could, and he's for me. And
so when Paul writes that God is a God of all comfort, and when we are afflicted, he meets us in those points of affliction and he comforts us. Maybe get really practical, and you've given a couple of examples. Here's how God meets me. He meets me through my times of prayer. He meets me in times of being in the Word. What other ways are you comforted? What other ways does God work to meet you in those places?
Yeah, huge one is people. I find coming, here on a staff meeting and you just get to see other people speak into your life, things that you're carrying. I find having just, even moments of community group. I know a lot of our people are in a community group, and just that having those friendships, having those relationships where you can be known and see that other people are suffering in the same way you are. I think there's a reason why in scripture he says, hey, this is happening across the board.
Right.
And that brings comfort. Like, you're not alone. And I think the enemy likes to try to get you alone and go, hey, you're the only one. You're the problem. You're a mess. No one's there. And God comes in and goes, I got my people for you.
Yeah.
So I know I find a lot of comfort from that.
I like what, if I could just...
Yeah, go ahead.
And it sounds like I set you up with that question, and maybe in a sense I did, but I just... This is the same thing that we see in Paul's life. So it's not just some kind of out there thing where Paul is saying, look, when I'm going through difficulty, God meets me in times of prayer and the word only. And I think those are valuable. Yeah. I think those are very critical. We need to draw close to the Lord and he meets us. But I love the fact that he uses people, because I think when we go through that, and we'll go back to the text in just a second, that when we go through affliction and God comforts us, we then are able to comfort others who are going through similar stuff.
Yeah.
Man, we just get it, because I'm going through this, I get it. I know that you're going through this. I had the pressure of this illness. I had the pressure of this loneliness or this time of great poverty or what have you. And I want to let you know that I understand and I empathize and I weep with you and God met me. I mean, Paul says this a couple of chapters later in the same letter, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. And I love that, because Paul is saying, look, there's crap going on in my life outside of who I am. I'm taking shots, literally, physically, I'm taking shots, but I also had this fear within, this internal angst. And Paul, I'm sure, like Timothy, probably when Paul writes his letter to Timothy, he says, I want you to stay there and do ministry. Timothy had a desire to leave.
Yeah. Right?
Get rid of the pressure. Do all we can to get rid of the pressure. Paul is, I'm sure, fighting this internally too, this fear within. And then he goes on to say, but God, who comforts the downcast. And that word downcast can literally be translated depression. That God comforts the depressed. Depressed because of the fear within and without. And that's what I've said. I said at the staff, to the staff an hour or two ago, and I would say to anybody listening, that's why all counsel eventually has to lead to God, because God comforts the depressed. God comforts the downcast. God comforts the fearful. And if we try to remove God from the mix, we won't experience God to the place and the point that we can. But that's what also pressure brings, and anxiety and these afflictions bring. We get to experience God in ways in that the removal of all of those things won't allow us to experience God in the way that we are able to. He goes on to say, just to read the end of the verse, so God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us. And then he says this, by the coming of Titus. So you have this work of God working. He comforts and he uses people.
Yeah.
He uses people like Titus, who helped us when we were fearful, when we thought we were going to lose our lives, and so on and so forth. So you're going to say something and I cut you off.
Well, no, I was just going to just point out in my own life, it's when you watch those who've also been where you've been and still are bleeding, where you go, like, man, God is so great for him. And where you almost draw the kind of passion to keep persevering, keep fighting the fight when you see others who lose everything. Like when we saw those videos this Sunday, when they lose everything and make Christ look great, because to lose everything and have him is gain.
Right.
There's a courage to suffer. There's a courage that longs to know God like that. And I think that's what Paul had. And when he saw Titus come in, he probably saw the same guy going through the same stuff and going, isn't Christ great?
Yeah, and you have this story, and I talked about that this morning as well, the story of Peter, where he's standing before Jesus and going, Jesus, man, I am going to the grave with you. And Jesus says, look, Peter, you're going to deny me three times, but I've prayed for you so that when you return, you may strengthen the brothers. And it's the idea that even God uses our failures and our denials and our sin, and he comforts us in the place of restoration.
Yeah.
So that's what Jesus does, place of forgiveness. Now go back to the guys and strengthen them, because they're probably going to be going, man, our main guy denied, he ran, but also Jesus died. We may die too. Strengthen them.
Yeah.
Speak into their lives and go, guys, I get the fear.
Yeah.
I screwed up, but I met God in that. He restored me, and we need to get back in the game. We can't run and try to remove all this pressure, because actually it's in these times where God meets us most, and he strengthens. So that it's that Titus stuff, in a sense, where God is using even the failures and our screw-ups to strengthen people, which is, I mean, it's wonderful. And that's what, again, going back to the 2 Corinthians 1 text, where Paul goes on and says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation, which is an interesting statement. If I'm afflicted, it's for the comfort of those around me. Now, how is that? Well, because God has met me in those places, and now I'm going to meet you. And then he goes on and says, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, meaning we're going to go through these times in our lives. I mean, just think about, okay, let's remove the apostle role of Paul and just go, okay, let's talk about a parent in there.
Right.
In our lives in 2015. So we have a parent going through a difficult time. We've got their kids watching them. Okay, how is dad and mom, how are they going to be dealing with what I sense is marital strife, economic strife, dad or mom just lost their job, cancer, family strife, maybe outside of that. So we have this anxiety and pressure on our lives. How do we handle it gospel-centric, meaning we're going to honor God in it, and people are watching us, and we can, in those times, go, son and daughter, family member, this is what's going on, but God is meeting me, but I'm staying faithful, but yes, I'm fearful, but I also need you to be praying for me. Even though you're my son or daughter, this is what I'm going through, and I need you here. And this is what comforts them. They go, God's meeting them, even though it's difficult, they're hanging on to the gospel, and that comforts others.
Oh, yeah.
Strengthens
and builds
them.
Faith. Huge
Absolutely.
Faith.
So it's not just for the pastor, the apostle, it's for the parent, it's for the roommate with a roommate, it's with a community group leader with a community group. It's just, man, you and me with our siblings or our friends, it's for everybody. And the pressure is anything and everything that comes because of life and us.
Yeah.
Wanting to live in a way and a manner that is worthy of the gospel. I mean, think about the singles in our ministries, and they're living in a world that says, look, man, sleep with whoever, whenever, give yourself to whatever relationship. And they're going, no, I want to honor God in my singleness. And there comes a pressure with that because that can mean loneliness,
right?
It can mean not experiencing things that everybody else wants to experience, does experience, they want to experience, but going, I'm going to honor Jesus in this, and that pressure that comes. But because Jesus is more valuable, I'm going to live like this, and that strengthens their friends.
That's good.
It's so key for us.
It's a huge lens. Like, there's no wasted affliction.
Because
Absolutely. Every affliction will bring for that believer the God of all comfort. That's who he is. That's his nature. He is the God of all comfort. And so every affliction comes first through the sovereign hand of God to get you to him.
Right, right. And what we do in our world, and what I won't even say the world, what I do in my life is too often I want to get rid of anything that brings pressure.
Right.
So if people bring pressure, I'm not going to hang out with people, right? If the burden of time brings, just get rid of that, I'll be fine, right? And but the problem with that is, going back to a previous point, God meets us in those places. We don't get to experience, we don't get to experience our relationship and the power of the resurrection, as Paul talks about it, in our lives when we remove those and we remove the opportunity of being able to encourage and strengthen others as well. And that's the removal of an opportunity that would be so dramatic and necessary for them too. And that's why Paul says, look, I'm okay with my afflictions because I'm going to encourage people who are going to go through difficult times too.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, like I was thinking about it too, when you asked that question, what is the hardest, what disappointments do I go through in ministry? And it's when good people leave. Yeah. And I find there's good disappointments where the God of all comfort's there too. And it's okay to be disappointed. I think he gets that. He knows what it's like to have unanswered prayer. He knows what it's like, you know, in a sense, to lose someone who's closest to you. He knows what it's like. And so he's there comforting us.
Right.
Not as someone who's up in heaven who just has never experienced what we've gone through. Like, he's been there. And so I just think of when Paul says, everyone in Asia deserted me.
Right.
Jesus was there on the cross.
Well, it was the afflictions and the struggles of Paul's life and the trials that he went through that he points to as bringing validity to his ministry. It wasn't his numbers. It wasn't the books he wrote. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't the conferences. It was his struggles and his trials. I know, and I've said this to you on occasion. I've said it to our staff. I've said it to many people. One of the criticisms that we've had as a ministry specific to our teaching and our preaching ministry has been, hey, man, you guys talk a lot about suffering. And one of the things that I've tried to tell people is we talk a lot about suffering because we teach the Bible and the Bible talks a lot about suffering. Yeah. But, you know, one of the reasons why we do in addition is because I know our people and I know at least some of their stories. And when we talk about afflictions and sufferings, we're not, and this we've said already a couple times in this podcast, but it's not just big grandiose stuff.
Yeah.
It's the pressure that comes daily trying to serve Jesus. And you're going to struggle and you're going to go through trials on a constant level. And there are people that seem to want us to teach that this life has none of that. So just talk about that. No, this life does. And Jesus is made known through how we walk through those. That is the conduit. It's our struggles and how we stand up under them to make Jesus known in this city. And that's why we talk about that. But it's also like Paul says, I want to know Christ, man.
Yeah.
I want to know Christ, and I want to share the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that I can attain the resurrection of dead, the power of the resurrection in my life. And that's why he says later in another letter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, where he says, I'm okay suffering. I'm okay suffering for the sake of the elect, because it's through my sufferings that I make Jesus known, and I want people to come to know Jesus. So why would I get rid of that?
Right. Well, and it's interesting, too, because when we hit James, right, that was the call, like in the sense that you consider it, consider your trials, not just happy, but joy. You think of what Hebrews said when he said, when he writes about Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There is a kind of joy in knowing that this trial, this pressure is God's means to get me more of him, to see more of the old me die, to get, as we've been preaching in the last few weeks, Egypt out of us. You know, Josh mentioned on Sunday, some of you might be going through a plague this morning, and it could be God doing something beautiful for you.
Yeah. And the beauty and the comfort are those treasured moments, right? Those look, you want to have the Mount of Transfiguration moments. You want those. Like, man, I'm close to God. Hey, should we just build some, you know, places to camp out here?
Tent out here.
And like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And we look forward to it. And one of the things is beauty about the comfort of God in our times of affliction is it gives us a foretaste of the kingdom to come, a kingdom we want. We groan for final redemption.
Yeah.
But it also solidifies to us the promise of the God of comfort, that he promises to comfort us. And we look forward to that forever realization of that forever comfort, where we will be in the presence of God forever in a place of forever comfort. I mean, and that's one of the beauties of this, too. It gives us that taste,
right?
That taste of something to come. Time's almost done. I want to read to the end of the text here. Verses 8 to 11. And I want to blow the lid off something that I think is all too often stated that is not true, biblically speaking.
Do it.
Paul writes, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we expressed or experienced, in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." In other words, we saw no way out. We thought we were going to die. And he says in that verse, we were burdened beyond our strength. There is an idea, and this is my point to hit. There's the idea out there that God will not give us anything beyond our ability to endure. It's a lie. We are given much that is beyond our ability to endure. So the idea of God won't give me anything beyond our ability, it's a lie. God will, Paul writes right here, it was beyond our strength. We thought we were going to die. We get much. Why is that? Paul goes on, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." There's the answer. Why would God allow, orchestrate things in our lives beyond our ability to endure so we don't rely on ourselves? So we rely on him. That's why. Why would God want us to live a life that allowed us not to rely on him, that we could do it all on our own strength? I mean, it's so anti-gospel, that idea. We are to rely on God. This life that we live, we'll have times in our lives where we just go, I can't do it. It's beyond my ability. Paul's going, look, it's beyond my ability. I thought I was going to die. And then he goes on and says, God delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. Looking, I think, ahead to the end of the age. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. So we live our lives. He meets us in those places. That gives us a foretaste, and like he says, he will deliver us again. We will reach a point where he will fully deliver us for time and eternity, so we forever live in a place of comfort where there is no more affliction. Mm. There is no more trial. There is forever in his presence. But we have the now of our lives. We have the now of ministry, and this is the role it plays. You have any final thoughts or questions?
Well, I think it's just it's a sweet way for Paul to say who raises the dead, because he's setting his hope and his power on who is giving him the strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, you know what? When we begin our Revelation series in January, I see that as the key theme of the book of Revelation. If you want to kind of whittle it down as a key theme, I mean, I think it's really wrapped up in Jesus' letter to Smyrna. He says, you know, be faithful unto death. And there's no rebuke of Jesus' letter to Smyrna. There's nothing. He says, look, guys, you live in poverty, though you are rich. You have true riches, and you're going to get tossed into prison. Be faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. And that, I think, is the theme of the book of Revelation. Be faithful. I'm on the throne. I've conquered. I'm going to peel back the layer of what you see. And
in this life,
this is what's going on. But in the life, the spiritual realm, this is what's reality. And this is your reality. But again, in the middle, yeah, there's going to be prison moments. And some of our prison moments are, you know, may not be physical, literal prison, but it may be a prison of a relationship. It may be the prison of not, maybe the prison of living in this city and going, I feel called to this city and I'm broke. And yet God is going, you know what? I may call you to a life of poverty. I may call you to that. I mean, is it beyond the call of God to call someone to a life of poverty? Of course not.
No. Yeah.
So this idea that, well, I've got to remove that. So I got to move away, or I've got to rid myself of that, or it's not good to be alone, so I'm going to take matters into my own hands and get rid of my aloneness and making bad decisions. No, could there be a place in there where God is going, yeah, that time may come where you experience that, and that, but right now I want you to draw close to me because I'm more important, more significant, more precious than any of that. Mm. So don't chase what is secondary. Lean close to me and I'll meet you there. So then you can in turn meet other people in those places of need, because I'm going to use you, Titus. I'm going to use you, James. I'm going to use you, Norm, to speak into that. And that's what's so utterly important, you know, for us to realize coming out of this text. So anyways, time is essentially done. Am I missing anything? Anything you want to double down on?
No, that was great. Nope. That was a great way to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
thanks, brother.
Thank
so
you.
Much better without Matt.
You nailed
here.
It. Yeah.
So much better,
yes.
So much easier.
Well,
so, you know, I love you guys. But now, Matt, if
no
you listen to this,
agreeing.
We love you. We love you, man. James, love you. Thank you for your ministry on the North Shore.
Thank you.
It's going great over there, and just really, 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 really thankful for you and your leadership and the team you have over there. If you're listening to this, lots of stuff on our website, wchurch.ca. You can find the North Shore campus link there. Downtown campus link on there. You can find out all things as it relates to this ministry, messages, earlier podcasts, things like that. If you ever have a question that you want us to hit on these podcast uploads, you can always email us at the church office at wchurch.ca. But we look forward to next time. So all the best. Thanks again.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.